Let's go to John chapter 9. A few weeks ago, I did share on the eyes of our understanding, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 1, and that we do have two sets of eyes. We have our physical eyes that allow us to see things that's outside of ourselves, you know, the five senses realm. And we have the eyes of our understanding. And the word understanding in the Greek is translated heart, the eyes of our heart. So it's the understanding or the perception that we have in our brain, which is the mind, understands things. And God does bring understanding into our lives as we seek Him and work His Word and as He shows us things. So there are things that God wants us to know, one of which is who Jesus Christ is and what He is. And you know, there's a lot of things He wants us to know. He shared a few in the manifestations of what He wants us to know. But I wanted to read this record in light of eyes. Here's going to be it's a record of a man who not only could not see physically, he couldn't see spiritually, and then he could see physically because of the miracle that Jesus Christ performed, and he did see spiritually as well of who Jesus Christ was. So in verse 1, and this is an incredible thing where it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." And many years ago, John had pointed out to me that it's incredible that he was in the temple and he had just had quite a heated discussion with the Pharisees, and he leaves them. They go to try to stone him, and he's walking by and he has the presence of mind to recognize that God's showing him here's a man to heal and that he was born blind. And you know, he wasn't so stooped in what had just taken on that what he just did that he was blind to this blind guy. You know, but so he saw this man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents." And then the punctuation should be a period there, because if you go any further with the same thought, it sort of indicates that God made him blind so he can get healed. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents," period. "But, or however, that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work in him, comma, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And that's how it could be punctuation-wise. It's not that God made this guy blind so he can perform a trick on him and make him display his power. What Jesus Christ is saying is, no, neither him or his parents sinned. And if the works of God are going to be made manifest, I must work those works. So if you keep your finger here, we're going to go to John chapter 6 to see a little bit of the definition of works of God. Question to Jesus Christ from some people. It says, "Then said they unto him," verse 28, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." So the works, one of the works, or the work of God, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe that God sent him, that he's the Savior, that he's the Lord. And that's the work of God. So here in John chapter 9, where Jesus is saying, verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work, while I'm here." So one of the things that Jesus Christ was doing was making known himself as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the Christ. And he's going to do that with this guy. You know, it's not just the healing of his eyesight, but that he got to a point where he recognized who Jesus Christ was, part of the works of God. So verse 6, and we've all read this record before. It's just a great record. A lot of things going on in here. Some of it's quite humorous. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. That's an incredible thing. There are, I believe it's five different accounts of Jesus Christ ministering healing, where the word script says something about it to blind people. He healed more than five blind people, but there are at least five records, this being one of them, where it shows what he said or did in helping that event. And here, by revelation, God said, make some clay, put it on his eyeballs, tell him what to do, which he did. So it's amazing, you know, it was simple. He just went his way. The guy did what he was, you know, told to do, and he came a seeing. Verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And this was a grown man. So it wasn't like he was a 10-year-old and hardly anybody in the area knew him. He was a grown man. He'd been around a while, blind since birth. The people that knew him when he was a baby, you know, if Penelope was blind, born blind, we'd all know about it right now. You know, we would have said something about asking for prayer for her or whatever. You know, the word gets out. So people knew he was blind. And that he couldn't see at the same time. You know. So, verse 8 again. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, well, this is he. Yeah, that's him. Others said, well, he's like him. But he said, hey, it's me, really. So some people, when they saw that it was him and he could see, because, you know, before to get home, he'd probably either had, I don't know what he did, you know, whether he had people lead him, whether he had a cane, whether he had an Uber back then and drop him off, I don't know, but he got around. And all of a sudden now he's not, and people can see. This guy can see. So some did not believe that, okay, that it can't be him because he can see. It looks like him, but it can't be him. So they didn't accept. Some people said, it's amazing, he can see. Others said, it can't be. It looks like him, but I don't think it's him. But he cleared it up. Yeah, no, it's me. It's really, really. Therefore, verse 10, said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, well, where is he? He said, I don't know. So that was the answer. He said, a man named Jesus made clay, put it on my eyes, told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I did. I came seeing. And that's all I know. there's a little pharisaical influence here. They bring him to the Pharisees. Somebody's upset about this. They bring him to the Pharisees because he's got two strikes. Jesus got two strikes against him. For this guy. One, he did it on the Sabbath day, which you're not allowed to heal according to the Pharisees on the Sabbath day. And two, you're not allowed to make clay on the Sabbath day because that was work. And so, this doesn't look right. You know, the guy, yeah, okay, we can see, you can see, but you know, he can't be too good of a guy because he's done two things wrong to get this healing. It's amazing. One of the things with the Pharisees where you're not allowed to heal on the Sabbath, the rules were really weird. It would have all these, it wasn't part of the scriptures, but it was the interpretation of it around the scriptures. So for healing on the Sabbath, if you sprained your ankle and you wanted to help it feel better and put cold water on it to reduce the swelling or prevent swelling, you couldn't do that until after the Sabbath, because putting the cold water on your ankle would be work. The only thing, they did have an exception, that if you got hurt, if you were going to die, if you didn't do anything, then yes, you could fix that, but only enough to keep you alive until the next day so that you can do other things. That's how they looked at it, that, you know, if you got a bad cut, you could put your hand on that, but, you know, don't clean it out, don't do this, because that's all work. So for him to heal somebody on the Sabbath day, that was just terrible to them. And then to make clay on top of that. So they're bringing them to the Pharisees. They're going to squeal on So they brought him to the Pharisees, verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. That's why it lists both there. Verse 15, then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Now, when they brought this guy in, you know what they told him. Hey, this guy used to be blind. He now can see, saying he can see. We think it's the same guy. We're not totally sure, but he's claiming he can see. But it was on, they're saying Jesus did it, you know, Jesus. And it's, he used clay and did it on the Sabbath day. So there's some fishy things. I'm sure these Pharisees were clued in a little bit before they asked this question. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that was aforetime blind, and when it was Sabbath day, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him, how is it that he received his sight? He said unto them, well, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Amazing that there's a division, but there was a division among them. Logic was going, how could that be if he's really that bad of a guy? Because there'd never been known since the beginning of time of mankind on earth, that a man or a person born blind got healed. There's no record of it anywhere in the Old Testament. So this is a very unusual thing. Verse 17, they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, well, he's a prophet. So now his understanding is a little bigger. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Now, these parents, you know, I would have to say if there was a person born blind and got miraculously healed, let's say at like a local high school football game, and all of a sudden a person walks in with a cane and walks out seeing, and I'm sure people would start talking about it to whoever they know. Hey, was it the football game, and this guy, I bumped into him, or he bumped into me because he didn't see me, and then he ended up getting healed right there in front of us. People would know. So the parents, I'm sure, were aware. The guy went home probably and said, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I can see. Look at this. They were probably thrilled. But now they're being brought before on the red carpet to these Pharisees. Verse 19. And they asked him, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or how, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Sounds like a politician. Maybe they are mayor of Jerusalem. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. As we learned in the Power of Urban Living. You know, fear does bind people and cause them to do things that they really don't want to do. Verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Come on, just give God the praise. Don't be talking about this Jesus guy. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, and that whereas I was blind, now I see. I don't know that much about this guy. You're calling him a sinner. All I know is that he put mud on my eyes, told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I washed, and I can now see. That's what I do know. So the politics are getting deep. Then said they, verse 26, to him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? You want to hear this story again? Are you trying to learn how to be his disciple? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And this is really funny. Verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. This is absolutely amazing. You know, really, it was a simple thing. He couldn't see for many years. He did what Jesus said to do. He can see all of a sudden. He told his parents. He told whoever he was around. People recognize it. And the Pharisees are giving him a hard time about this. To a point that they're saying, oh, you know, they reviled him. Because he's just saying what happened. Here is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is. And yet he hath opened mine eyes. This amazes me. You don't even know who this guy is. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Has anybody ever heard of this before? He's shooting him with a little logic. Saying, this is not that hard. Look, it's really me. I'm the guy that couldn't see. Now I can see. Look, it happened. The guy that did it was named Jesus. Verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Wonderful, loving people. Verse 35, this is just terrific. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? So Jesus heard about it, which means that word got out what had happened. He heard it. And then he went and looked for the man. He sought after him. And he finds him and he asks him this question. Do you believe on the Son of God? Remember, he was in the beginning of the chapter, he said he had to work the works of God. While it was daytime, while he was there, he had to, and God showed him, get this guy, you know, heal him, but also get him to a point of believing who he was. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Imagine being this guy with this verse, 37. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You're looking at me, or you're looking at him, and you're hearing him. I'm the guy. I'm Jesus. I am the Son of God. That must have been an incredible moment for this guy. He was just minding his own business, and a guy named Jesus approached him, told him some things. He followed it. He got really blessed, and all of a sudden he's in trouble by the Pharisees, and then he's cast out. You know, a lot happened in a short time. And here's this Jesus found him and is talking to him. What a moment that must have been for his life to realize who Jesus Christ was. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Isn't that incredible, though? It just, not only did he have his physical eyes open, which would be joy beyond belief, but he had the eyes of his understanding enlightened. He finally realized Jesus wasn't just this guy, and he just wasn't a prophet, but he was the Son of God, and he believed on him. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. And the unbelief of the people that said, that can't be, he really wasn't. He wasn't really the guy that was born blind. He looks like him, but this has got to be a setup. And for those Pharisees to point blank cast him out and deny him because he got healed by somebody they hate, just amazing. But this man was meek enough and receptive enough to say, Lord, I believe. What a moment for him. And you know, there was a moment in our lives, I don't remember it, because I was young and didn't know, but, you know, there was a moment where in my life I believed in Jesus Christ. Some people are aware of it, and some people aren't, I don't know. But for me, I when I heard the accuracy of God's word, I already believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I just didn't know anything about him. That knew nothing about him, other than he was God's son. So somewhere along the line, I recognized that and believed it, but I don't remember when. Some people do remember that moment where they got born again, and this guy, he didn't get born again at that moment, but he believed, and you know, to see Jesus Christ standing there right in front of him, saying, blessed is a wonderful thing. So, let's go to John chapter 8. Part of what God wants is that for people to, you know, God wants, it talks about in Timothy, that he wants all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. Part of that truth is who the Lord Jesus Christ is, that he is Lord of all and Savior of all mankind. It's least available to be Savior. And Abraham, back in the Old Testament, he understood that and saw that day, chapter 8, verse 56. This was part of the narrative between Jesus Christ and the Pharisees. Verse 56, your father, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? They were really stupid. This can't be. I mean, you're not even 50. How could Abraham have seen you? But Abraham, God showed Abraham the coming Redeemer, you know, the truth of it, the reality of it. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. He showed him the reality of the Redeemer. If he actually showed him what he looked like, I don't know. But it does say he saw his day. Just like we see Jesus Christ is coming back. We understand that. I've never seen the actual what it's going to look like. Paul may have. He showed him some things. But I haven't seen it physically, you know, like I got a revelation or a picture, but I know he's coming. I see the day, in a sense. of the generality of it. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, as you know, Peter stood up and started speaking concerning what had just happened, and he gives them a little bit of a lesson concerning who Jesus Christ was. And he speaks of David in verse 25. It says, "For David speaketh concerning him," referring to Jesus Christ, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou allow thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear," referring to the speaking in tongues and Spirit of God being shed out. "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto him, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore," in conclusion, "let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." So David obviously saw it, and he saw it big time. And God said, "You know, he's going to sneak out of you. It's going to be through your lineage." What a blessing that must have been to his heart, that the future Redeemer is coming from your blood, you know, your lineage. Must have been a great blessing. And he rejoiced in it, and he talked, his tongue was glad. He had a happy tongue. You know, the things that came out of his mouth were a blessing. Great things. I don't remember specifically, you may, the first time I heard that Jesus Christ is coming back. It was when I started going to fellowship, but I don't remember the night, I don't remember the feeling, I just, somewhere along the line, I remember, you know, but I don't remember the moment, like, wow. But, you know, Jesus, you know, for David to realize that, yes, there is going to be a Redeemer, and then on top of that, it's coming from my loins, just must have been a great moment for his life, and it was, I'm sure. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. God wants our lives to know who Jesus Christ is, that he's Lord and Savior. And he wants the world to know that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior of all mankind. That's what he wants. He wants people's understanding to be enlightened. Just like that blind man. He got a double whammy. He got physical sight and he got spiritual understanding. Galatians chapter 3, this is to the Galatians. The Galatians saw it. So Abraham saw it. David saw it. The Galatian believers saw it. But they were having their eyesight messed up here. Verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you?" You know, at one time you understood who Jesus Christ was. At one time you made him Lord in your life. One time you accepted him as your Savior. Who's gotten a hold of you that this Christ is not the Christ? It's a good question for him. So, there is a devil, and he is trying to cover who Jesus Christ is, even to those who are born again, where they don't recognize, well, he's not really my Lord. I mean, I do what I want to do. If he happens to agree, that's good. If he doesn't agree, well, that's the way it goes. But, you know, he is our Lord. And we are supposed to have that Lord-servant relationship with him. And lastly, we are going to go to Romans chapter 10. People have a need to know who Jesus Christ is, that he's not just a person that happened to live. He's not just a prophet, not just a guy who heals a lot of people, but he's actually mankind's savior, and he can be mankind's Lord. Romans chapter 10, very familiar verse of scripture here. And we'll start with verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, or will not be disappointed. Have any of us been disappointed that we made Jesus Christ our Lord? Oh, it's like a no-brainer. But the Galatian believers were starting to get a little affected. Have we known people that have walked away from God and believing in any of this stuff? Well, we know people. It's unfortunate. They're still going to heaven, but in the meantime, they're not doing what they could be doing. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He's rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a definite thing. How then? And here's some wonderful questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So God is relying on his people to make known the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, what he's accomplished, what it's available. And what a delight that is that we have that opportunity as ambassadors for Christ to speak of who he is and what he does, and to help one another to recognize it in a great way and recognize he is our Lord. You know, it's not just us. So we were around the Dodd kids this week because we, at nighttime, went down there each night. Susan was down at the Dodd house for the week. And the two younger boys still have a very strong will to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. And there is that transition of a kid going from, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do, to, okay, I will do what you're telling me I should do. And that, you know, that learning of obedience to the parents and the Lord, this and that, and that transition. And it is a transition. It doesn't come naturally. I don't know any kid, even as sweet as the kid could be, that just does it all according to the parents', you know, desires for that kid. It's just, some are a little easier to help than others, but they all fight it. They all have old man nature, right? Us included. And so old man nature is always saying, I want to do what I want to do. I like what I want to do. I choose very carefully what I want to do. You know, I was thinking about homosexuality today. Not that I'm interested. But some people get tricked into it because they think they're born that way, or they're naturally inclined to be that way. And they say, well, when I was 8, I had these feelings for boys. You know, I didn't have the same feelings for girls. Or when I was 16, I had these feelings for guys, but I never had that same type of feeling. Well, homosexuality is sin. We have a sin nature, we have a desire to do that which is sin, whether it's stealing, lying, cheating, being selfish, or homosexuality. It's all sin. Some people say, I just feel like I should lie about this. Well, that's a sin nature, and you can follow it. I feel like I must be a homo. It must be my calling. It must really not be. Well, that's sin nature. What do you want to follow? Pick your sin. You know, type of thing. But if Jesus Christ is our Lord, we'll say, yeah, maybe I feel like doing that, but I'm not going to. I may feel like I want, the best thing for me to do is lie in this situation. It'll get me out of it, but I'm not going to. Or the best thing is whatever it is. Whatever it is that is a sin nature that crawls up, you know, Jesus Christ is our Lord. So we change according to what the Word says. But, you know, we have that wonderful privilege to be able to speak concerning who He is and how to get people born again and to learn how to worship God and to serve as a servant of God and servant of our Lord. It's really wonderful. But the world will always try to talk us out of it. Even the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, like what was happening in Galatians. So, interesting stuff. But I love that guy. That guy must have really had quite a day that day, you know, to be an adult and live all those years without being able to see it at all. And then to finally that day start to put voices with a picture. You know, like to have talked to John for years, but never know what he looks like. And all of a sudden I see, wow, that's what John looks like. Or that's what I look like if he had a mirror, you know. Oh, he smoked. Maybe I'm better off not to look. I don't know if I like what I see in the mirror. Whatever. I don't know. It must have been a thrilling day to be able to finally see. And then to come face to face with Jesus Christ and say, ah, yeah, you're the Lord, I believe. Amazing. It must have been a great day. I don't think he'll ever forget that moment. You know, I've never, you know, some of the greatest things in my life, I didn't recognize or don't remember the actual incident. I'm sure that guy, I would think that guy, those are some memories that would never fade in his life. The day he could see physically and saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing.